And when we read the end of the book, guess what? We find, you know what? Say what?
We
win. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But now, there are some folks today that don't feel like we're winning. Some don't believe that we're winning. Some are discouraged for whatever reason. Amen. Some are even discouraged on how the political races have turned out. And then some are discouraged for other reasons. But you know what? We should never, ever be discouraged. Are you with me? We should never, ever be discouraged. Now, you should have Psalm 42, right? Let's go to the very last verse of the 42nd Psalm. And the writer asked this question of himself. He says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. Hope in God. And then he went on to say, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. And you'll find out that in the fifth verse, he said essentially the same thing. You know, why are you cast down, O my soul? Now, let me read this verse 11 from the New Living Translation. And it asks the question, why am I discouraged? Now, let me ask you a question, and this applies to anyone that's in the sanctuary or anyone that's watching the live stream. If you are discouraged, you need to stop a moment and ask yourself why. I mean, believe it or not, there are folks walking around today that they are discouraged, but if you ask them why, they can't tell you. They're not happy. For whatever reason, they're not happy, but if you ask them, some of them cannot tell you why. You need to find, if you're discouraged, first of all, you need to find out, why am I discouraged? What is it that's bugging me? Amen. What is it that I'm discouraged about? So let me read New Living again, chapter 11. I began it again. I never finished it. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. Again. Let me read that again. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now, if we are discouraged, if we are discouraged, then it's obvious that we are not placing our hope and our trust in God. How many of you know man will let you down? Human beings will let you down. Human beings will disappoint you. Human beings will make promises to you and then not keep them. Do you know the Bible tells us that Jesus would not commit himself to man because he knew what was in man? He knew what was in man. Now we're supposed to love one another and be in a good Christian fellowship with one another and do what we can to help one another, but our trust should never be in a person. Our trust and our hope should always be in God. Sometimes we blame folks when they haven't come through, or when we feel like they haven't come through for us. And sometimes people just don't do what they should do. But sometimes they're not even capable. I'm so glad the Bible tells me that with God, all things are possible. With God, nothing is impossible. Are you still here with me this morning? Amen. So the writer said, telling himself, why am I discouraged? He's asking himself the question, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. And listen, when your hope is in God, you can freely praise Him. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, in the state that our world is in today, we had better put our hope in God. Put our hope in God. I share this sometime. Back in the 80s, we were praying for a young man that had received a bad report. We was at some friend's house and for Bible study, and we were praying for a young man that had received a bad report, and it wasn't looking good for him. And we were praying and seeking God on his behalf, interceding for him. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, and I shared it with the rest of the folks that were present at this meeting. And the Lord said, failure is not in the vocabulary of the Holy Spirit. In other words, he cannot fail. Are you hearing me? Let me say that again, because I want you to get this in your spirit. He cannot fail. See, there are some things that God can't do. Failing is one of them. Lying to you is another one. Stop loving you is another one. And I could go on and on. Why can't he do these things? Because they're not in his character. That's not who he is. The word of God tells us in John, the epistle of John, that God is what? Love. I mean, that's just who he is. That's just who he is. That's his nature. Love. Failure is not there. Hallelujah. All you need to grab a hold of that. So the writer says, I will hope in God. Or he was telling himself, hope in God. Amen. Now, I don't want to be before you too long, but I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 30. And I know you are familiar with this story. I just want to share some of it with you this morning. And it's right in line with what we're talking about. And by the way, I didn't give you a subject, but my subject this morning is, if you want a subject, be encouraged. Be encouraged. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Now, I'm going to read about David, because David was familiar with discouragement. You hear me? This man had to run for his life. His own relatives turned against him, some of them. And we could go on and on and on. If anybody that were familiar with discouragement and disappointment, David was. Now, let me tell you something before we continue here. I'm not saying you won't be disappointed. I'm not saying someone won't discourage you or disappoint you. But with and discouragement. Amen. Now, do you have 1 Samuel chapter 30? Now, this is a story about David. He and his 600 fighting men, and I'm not going to try to tell the whole story, but he and his guys decided to hook up with the Philippines and, fight with them and so forth and hide from Saul. And I'm not sure if that was the wisest thing for him to do. I think that was probably a bad decision. But anyway, let's pick it up at verse 1. And I'm reading from my New King James Bible. It says, "Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day." Oh, by the way, while they were gone, Amalek's armies came in, invaded the place, burnt down the cities, and took their families, their wives, their children, captured them, took them away. So let's read. "And it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken captive the women." Okay? "Had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone." And I believe that's God, don't you? "But carried them away and went their way." So verse 3. Hang with me a minute as I try to separate the pages. All right. "So David and his men came to the city, and there it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive." Now think about that for a moment. What if you had been a member of David's army? Or what if you had been David himself? Now you have to understand, David was the leader of this army. These men followed him. These men respected his decision. Still with me? So they noticed that their wives were gone, their children were gone, their possessions and so forth. And then it said, verse 4, "Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept." I believe they were hurt, disappointed, discouraged, a lot of other things, wouldn't you say? And listen, let me read 4 again. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Anybody ever been there to where you've cried, you've been so disappointed, hurt, that you cried till you just cried out. You had no more tears. You just done. That's where these guys were. That's where they were. They're looking at what was left, the ashes. Their wives were gone. Their children were gone. That's a bad place to be. But how many of you know, it doesn't matter how bad it gets, God always has an answer. Oh, let me say that again. Get this in your spirit. It doesn't matter how bad it gets, God always has an answer. Glory to God. And it goes on to say, in David's 2 wives, and I'm not going to try to pronounce all these names. You know, that's verse 5, okay? But they had been taken captive. Now look at verse 6. Now David was what? Not just distressed, he was greatly distressed. Think about this. His family's gone. His family's gone. Now, David was greatly distressed. And on top of that, listen to this. For the people spoke of stoning him. In other words, David, it's your fault. If we hadn't been hanging out with you, we could have been here to fight and protect our family. David, it's your fault. You're the reason my wife is gone. You're the reason my children are gone. And I feel sure they didn't even know if they were alive or not. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But look at this. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. The King James Version, the original King James Version, says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Let me tell you something. When bad times hit, we need to have somewhere to go. Notice that it said David encouraged himself, or he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. The Lord his God. We need to know God for ourselves. We need to know and understand that God is a faithful God. And it doesn't matter what the question may be, God is the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. Glory to God. Y'all still with me? And then it goes on, then verse 7 says, then David said to Abiathar, the priest, Amalek's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. Look at verse 8. So David inquired of the Lord. You see that? David inquired of the Lord. He didn't even inquire of his own men. Hey, guys, let's gather around here. Let's talk about this and see what our next step should be. He didn't do that. Matter of fact, he couldn't do that because them guys wanted to kill him. You know, friendship only goes so far. But when you start messing with a man's family, you're treading on thin ice. So David did what he should have done. He sought the Lord. So David, in verse 8, so David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I pursue this troop? Hallelujah. Well, glory be to God. That's technology for you, ain't it? All right. Let's keep going. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this truth? Shall I overtake them? Now, what about your situation? What about your situation out there? How are you handling it? Are you inquiring of the Lord? Are you going down on your knees before God and talking to Him about it? Are you opening your Bible and reading the promises of God? Or do you just choose to curl up in the fetal position and cry, and cry, and cry? I want to tell you right now, you need to seek God. God has your answer. And let me add this. It's okay. It's okay sometime to talk to a godly man or woman. Notice I said godly. Godly. Now, I want you to hold your place. Please don't lose your place here at 1 Samuel. I'm coming back. But I want you to turn to the book of Galatians real quick. Book of Galatians. Chapter 6. Because I want you to remember this. And then we're going back to 1 Samuel. It says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are what? You who are what? Spiritual. And that's not talking about just any spirit either. That's not talking about stopping by the house with the praying hands on the sign. That's not talking about pulling out a Ouija board. Brethren, if any man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, what's he talking about here? He's talking about those that are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, spiritual wisdom, people that know God. You hear me? So if any brethren is overtaken in any fault, if a man is overtaken in any fault or any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of what? Gentleness or meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And I wanted us to read this verse simply because If you go, yes, we should always go to God. But if you need spiritual counsel, if you need to, someone to pray with you, someone to give you some spiritual advice, you need to make sure that it is someone who is spiritual. Whether you have committed a trespass or whether you just simply are discouraged and disappointed and you don't know what to do. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 30. I want to go ahead and get through this. I don't want to hold you too long. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. So it goes on to say, so David went, this is verse 9. Oh, let me read verse 8 again. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, God, that is, answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them without fail, recover all. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, David went before the Lord, and he got his answer. He got the answer that he needed. God says, you shall pursue them, you will defeat them, and David, you shall recover all.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Reason for rejoicing.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Verse 9, so David went, he and his 600 men, who were with him, and came to the brook Bezor, where those stayed who were left behind. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind, who were so weary that they could not cross the brook Bezor. Now, they probably, their spirits was broken, they were physically tired, and they just didn't have the energy to go. So I want to skip some of this, because they met an Egyptian along the way, and this guy gave them some valuable information. But anyway, David went, he attacked them. In verse 17, we see, then David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. Now, David and his 400 men defeated these guys. They got their families back. All right? And they're on their way back now. They have their families. God's word is true. Verse 21 says, now David came to the 200 men who had been so weary that they could not follow David, whom they also had made to stay at the brook Bezor. So they went out and met David, to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And when David came near the people, he greeted them. Now let me stop right there for a moment, because I want to make another point, and I'm getting ready to close this shortly. I want to make another point to you. These 200 men that stayed by the brook Bezor, who were tired, I guess still discouraged, and what David told them to do, say, listen, we can handle this. 400 of us, we can handle this. You stay here and watch the equipment. You stay here and watch the equipment. You take care of the equipment for us, okay? Now, let's take a look at verse 22. Now, they are back, David and the families and all, they are back. In verse 22, it says, then all the wicked and worthless men of those who went with David, so he had some worthless men with him, some wicked men with him, answered and said, because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except every man's wife and children, that they may lead them away and depart. Now listen at this. But David said, my brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered us into our hand, delivered into our hands the troops that came against us. For who will heed you in this matter? But as his part is who goes down to the battle, so shall his part be who stays by the supplies. They shall share and share alike. Now, I wanted to read that for this reason. And this is a little side journey, but I want to say it anyway. Sometimes people feel just because they're keeping the stuff, they're watching the stuff, they're watching the equipment, they feel like they are not important. You're listening to me. They feel like they're not important. And sometimes, and I'm especially talking about folk in the church, sometimes other folk in the church will make them feel like they are not important. Are you still with me? But I want to tell you, if whatever you are doing for the glory of God. It's not a small thing in God's eyes. Y'all still here? It's not a small thing in God's eyes. Listen, somebody had to watch the equipment. No, they didn't go out in battle. They didn't risk their lives in the battle. But they watched the equipment while the soldiers fought. And David says, listen, they watched the equipment and they are going to receive an equal share just like we did that fought the battle. Because they wasn't physically in the battle, but they were still part of the battle. Are y'all still here?
Amen.
Glory be to God. Sometimes folk in the church, sometimes in churches feel like, and just because they're the ones maybe that's cleaning the commodes, or they're the ones that's vacuuming the floors, or they're the ones, and sometimes keeping the babies, you know, we could go on and on. They feel like they are not important. I'm here to tell you, yes, you are.
Amen.
Yes, you are. You're just as important as anybody else in that church.
Amen.
Now, I know I deviated a little bit here, but this is important. And we as believers should always make everybody feel good and appreciate them and thank them for their service, no matter how big or how small it is.
Amen.
Can I get another amen here?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because we have to understand, God ain't necessarily going to reward us for the type of work we do. I mean, we'll be rewarded for that. But the main thing that God looks at is our faithfulness.
Amen.
Our faithfulness. Are you faithful in what I've given you to do? Matter of fact, Jesus himself said, him that is faithful in little things, God will give him more, greater things. Praise the name of the Lord. Okay, I got to wind this up. Are you still with me? Now, drop down, look at verse 19. Go back up to verse 19, and we'll close out right here. And nothing of theirs were lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. And everything that the Amalekites had taken, nothing was missing. And listen at this. This is the last three words of verse 19. David recovered all. David recovered all. The situation was so dark when they came back to the camp, Ziklag, when they came back to Ziklag. Things were so dark. It was a midnight hour experience for them. They didn't know what to do. They cried. Some got angry. But one man knew what to do. He sought the Lord. And I want to tell you right now as I close, whatever you may be dealing with right now, whether here in the sanctuary or the live stream, whatever you may be dealing with, take it to God. Talk to God about it. It's okay if you know somebody that really knows God and know how to reach God and give you wise counsel. It's okay to talk to them too or get somebody to pray with you. But my point is, Jesus Christ is your answer. He's the answer for discouragement. He's the answer for disappointment. Amen. Can I get another shout?
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. So be encouraged today. No matter what's going on, you be encouraged, because Jesus Christ is still on the throne. He has not fallen off. He is still Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word today. And I thank you, Father, that your word would never, ever return to you void. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we bless you right now, Father God. We bless you. One of the things I want to do, I'm just going to